Host Harlan Mono Logics. Number 00006. Recorded on October 17, 2022. Production location, Post. Harlan. Texas. Dirty Lowdown. Dirty Lowdown. Chapter 6.
The opinions of Maverick 88 are not necessarily the opinions of Maverick 88. Sensitive content warning. Viewer discretion is advised.
Now, buckle up. You are on the runaway train of thought. Ladies and gentlemen, without any further ado, the one, the only, Maverick 88.
Dirty Lowdown. Dirty Lowdown is a song from the 70s. Right? Boz Scaggs. You ever hear Boz Scaggs? Boz Scaggs came to prominence as a result of his platinum-selling LP called Silk Degrees. Right? Silk Degrees. And I actually had that on 8-track. I don't recall exactly how or why it fell into my hands. That album goes back to like 76 or something like that. And I'd have been all of 8 or 9 years old, but I didn't get it until 77 or 78. And I don't know if I got it as a gift. Probably got it as a gift. Probably somebody gave it to me as a... I can't imagine buying it for myself. A, I never had any money, and B, I wouldn't have bought Boz Scaggs. But I had it, and I listened to it every once in a while. There was a couple songs on it that were really of note. Low Down was one of them. And Lido Shuffle was the other one, and there's probably some other ones on there that some people really like. I don't know how you describe the music. I mean, Boz Scaggs as a genre, kind of all over the map, you know, but it's not hard rock. It's kind of like adult contemporary with a little funkiness to it. He's kind of an interesting character. He's basically a Texan. He was raised, he's born in Ohio from what I gather, but he was raised right down the street here in Plano, so he's like an Arlen, Texas dude. So he fits into the post Arlen monologue perfectly well. Now while he was growing up here, as the story goes, he was sent off to a private school down in Dallas, and that's where he met some dude named Steve Miller. Steve Miller, like as in Fly Like an Eagle and the Joker and all that guy, right? They grew up together. They were buds. They were classmates. And Steve Miller actually started teaching Boz Scaggs how to play the guitar. And they ended up in bands together in the early 60s. And when Steve Miller made his solo projects in the mid-60s, mid to late 60s, Boz Scaggs was part of the touring ensemble, and then he went off on his own. And like, I don't know nothing. I know shit, maybe three or four songs that the guy did. And I had that one 8-track, right, Silk Degrees. So I know all those songs. But I should say I heard all those songs. I don't know them. I would probably have to sit down and listen to them and see if it strikes me. But a Dirty Lowdown, the song's actually called Lowdown, but he sings about Dirty Lowdown in it, and that's what got it on my mind. See, I didn't think about Dirty Lowdown because of the song. I had something else in my mind that we'll get to as we go. But I figured, you know, let's take a look at that song. Let's take a little look at Boz Scaggs. I don't even know if he's alive right now. I couldn't tell you. I didn't bother to look into it like that. Some of these things I know because I know. Maybe I looked into it in the past, or I've seen it or read it somewhere, heard it somewhere. I don't know. But, Dirty Lowdown. Now, the song, it's like, I know the song. You know the song. You've heard the song. It's the kind of song you could put on almost any radio station, right? But it really is adult contemporary, like funk, like 70s type of funk. It's got a very urban, an old school urban sound to it. Like, you think of, there's like a Michael Jackson element to it. It's not disco-y. I wouldn't call it dance music, but you could, because it maintains a steady rhythm. But it's more like, it's more sophisticated. It's kind of like street music. I don't know how to describe it any better than I already have, but I like it. It's not my normal type of thing to listen to, but, you know, a lot of stuff made in the 70s that may or may not be my normal thing to listen to. When I listen to it, I could see the quality, right? The musicians were actually musicians. The singers could actually sing. The engineers were phenomenal, right? They did everything analog, and everything was painstaking and meticulous and really so good. You listen to the percussion, the drums in the 70s songs. It's like, holy shit, you know? There's so much going on that you don't really pick up till you listen to it in depth. And this Low Down song by Boz Scaggs is no exception. No exception to that. The song itself, like, I would never know what it was about. I never knew all the lyrics. I went and looked them up, so I would know. And what I gather, it seems to be a story of a dude who basically lied to a girl. This is my take, anyway. He lied to a girl about his own prominence, right? And then she went and took that lie and, like, went and told it to everybody she knew in town. Like, she's got this guy, he's a stud, he takes care of her, and la-da-da. But really, he ain't got shit, and, you know, everything he had, he wasted on her. And what he had, he probably stole, you know, that kind of stuff. It reminds me, this is going to go off a tangent a little bit, it reminds me of, like, the online dating scene. I'm sure there still is one. I've not been a part of it in a really long time. But when I was, you know, it was the early 2000s, right at the turn of the millennium, actually late 90s, I got involved with doing that, and it lasted maybe about 5 years before I just got away from it. But there was a lot of really, you know, you want to meet some fucked up people and get into some fucked up situations, you know, that's a way to do it. I got a couple of girlfriends out of the deal, but you really had to go through a lot of weeding out and odd stuff. And the name of the game back then was just lie to get what you want. Now, I'm not saying that's what I did. I'm really, even at the worst of times, I wasn't really that kind of guy. I would lie and deceive back when I was on drugs in order to get drugs, you know? And once I removed that from my life, the lies and the deception went with it. I was, a mature adult. In terms of romance, I wasn't really looking to go out and play the field. I wasn't like to trick somebody into getting into their panties. But many were. And, you know, you start to hear the stories as you deal with people. A lot of guys running around who can't rub two nickels together, but they borrow their buddy's car. and they take it to the car wash, and they pretend that they're lawyers or doctors, and they go out on dates with these guys. People pretend they're 6'2", and they show up for the date, and they're 5'4". I've actually seen where black girls pretend they're white girls pretend they're black, you know, all kinds of craziness. And I when I listen to this Lowdown by Boz Scaggs, that's the impression I'm getting, you know, from the lyrics that I'm pulling together in it. That seems to be the story. One guy lied to somebody. And, you know, it's like, I guess when you lie, you don't really want to shine the light on that lie. And what that girl did was went and just blabbermouthed it all around town. And probably everybody knows that that guy ain't shit. So he's put in a position where he's got to fess up, you know, and tell the girl he's basically a dirty Lowdown. So what the hell's a dirty Lowdown? There's other songs that use, there's probably 100 of them. I don't know, but I know this one, right? Yeah, for all you punk rock people, and I don't know how many of you there are, I had a lot of punk rocker friends. I wouldn't call myself a punk rocker, but I had a lot of friends who were, and there were some things that I liked and I listened to that I spent my money on, you know, but I didn't like take up with the whole style, and I didn't go out to all the club shows like CBGB's. I was up there. I just didn't get involved with that whole quote unquote scene. But there were certain limited select punk rock music that I like. See, I don't like the idea of punk in general. I think to be called a punk is a great insult. If you knew what a punk really is, you'd think twice about calling yourself a punk. Some of you might not. Some of you actually are punks. But others, and you might not even be aware of it. You're basically somebody's bitch to be a punk, you know. You're basically a homosexual boy toy off the street, you know. Some sugar daddy owns you, or it's really a prison term, you know. Some big dude owns you as his bitch. That's what a punk is. And then, you know, and when you think about like the Sex Pistols, and you go back to the origins of London, England type of punk rock, right? Their quote unquote scene over there. The way I understand it, and I don't understand it very well, I'm not an expert on this sort of thing, but they were a bunch of like street kids that were probably molested, and they hung around a sex shop that like sold dildos and porn and shit like that. That's what I gather. And they had no talent or anything like that, and somebody helped form them up into a band. When you call that punk rock, you're probably nailing it. You know, you're nailing it down. That's exactly what it is. They were street punks that were sexually exploited in one means or another, or many others. Who knows? But I don't know the details of the story. I don't know those kind of details ever come out. But that's what you're talking about when you're talking to punks. I wasn't a punk. But there were certain bands that I liked, and more specifically, there were certain songs by certain bands that I liked. Now, I'd spent my money on Dead Kennedys and Sex Pistols. I bought one or two of them. But what I really liked was this one band that was a little bit more obscure. And they were not the same as the rest. They actually kind of had, like, talent to them. They're called Fear, F-E-A-R, Fear, like you're afraid of something. And they were out of Philly, and I think they came through the Los Angeles scene, like, you know, so many quote-unquote punk rock bands did back in the late 70s. I was listening to them in the early 80s, and they had made an album called Fear, the Record, right? And I thought that was great, top to bottom, every song. Now, to me, you know, as far as their music and their lyrics were concerned, they were a whole lot less political in their orientation. They were more oriented to, like, drinking beer, getting drunk. And they would have songs that involved, like, social conditions and social justice sort of things, as it was back then, but not really so political. as again many other bands like that would were being at that time. They're very humorous, and there's a certain humorousness to them. And the singer, guy who, it's an Italian guy, I forget what his name actually is, but he has a performance name of Lee Ving, like leaving, like you're leaving. I thought that was great, you know, being a suicidal teenager as I was, you know, that was a great name. But he had powerful, powerful voice, Lee Ving. And, you know, a couple of years ago, before this whole COVID started, life was still, you know, normal, quote-unquote, Arlen life. Well, actually, no, I was post-Arlen back then. What I'm saying, it's a pre-COVID normal. Getting myself confused, time overlaps and whatever. But Lee Ving came out. I guess it was Fear. I don't know if it was the original band or something they slapped together, but Fear started playing again. And Reverend Horton Heat was over Gas Monkeys in Dallas. They've changed the name and changed management now. I've never been in there. I was out there. I was with a bunch of friends, and we actually showed up a day early. They did a show with Fear, Reverend Horton Heat and Fear. One was opening for the other. And I was like, oh, this is, well, that'd be great. Well, I just happened to be out to dinner with somebody in Dallas. And I was like, you know, I think a couple of my favorite bands are playing over here. Let me just swing by. You know where that place is? I've never been there. Yeah, we found it. We went there. It was crowded, and the sign said somebody else, and then it said the next day was going to be Reverend Horton Heat, and I didn't get back to it. And I regret it, you know, I regret it. That would have been a good time, but not to be. But anyway, Fear, on Fear the Record, with their singer, Lee Ving, they made this song called Beef Bologna, right? And yeah, it's about that. But it starts out kind of like this vocal, shit, I don't know. You wouldn't call it spoken word. It's a guy just kind of hollering out. Without music, it's some kind of vocalism. My baby. Does it talk about a lowdown skankadoo? Right? It starts like that. And he just kind of like does that a little bit more. And then the song kicks into your ordinary, like, you know, punk rock pace and fervor. And it talks about this woman who doesn't really care for a whole lot of meat. You know, doesn't like pastrami, doesn't like, you know, all this different sort of meat, but she likes the guy's beef bologna. So it's like he got a vegetarian girlfriend or a vegan girlfriend or something like that. And she won't eat any meat, but she will, you know what I'm saying, right? So anyway, he mentions about that girl, that vegan vegetarian girl being a low-down skanky dude. Lowdown, right? So what's this lowdown stuff? Lowdown in a dictionary is defined as despicable. There's a word for you. Base. There's a modern word for you that's used and misused severely. It's not, I don't use that. I'm too old. That's like fucking Generation Z shit. You can keep that. But it is a word, and the meaning is not good. It's not good. Despicable in the dictionary, it means vile. Vile in the dictionary means morally depraved. Depraved in the dictionary means morally corrupt, perverted, right? Now, you know, lowdown is defined as despicable and base. I define lowdown as low character motherfucker, right? Dirty lowdown. The guy lies, cheats, steals, and kills. Whatever it takes to get whatever he wants. That's what lowdown is to me. Ultimately, it comes down to being morally corrupt. As I just went through half a dictionary for you to get to, right? Morally corrupt. Now we get into this whole thing about morals again. It always becomes... This discussion has come up in other of my monologues. It came up with a bunch of guys at church yesterday. Of course, church, you're going to talk about morality and moral issues, right? But more specifically, the idea about who defines what is good and what is evil, right? What is good, what is bad? This whole thing about good and evil, and that's what morality is all about. It's the definition of what is good and what is evil. Who defines that? Well, the truth is we all define it for ourselves. And then we may or may not subscribe to somebody else's definition of it. And now you've got a world that is scatterbrained. I heard that Radiohead song the other day, Scatterbrain. You got a scatterbrained world. Everybody's heading in all these different directions. And this is why culture clashes like it does. There is a singular point of assimilation. That is God, the creator of all things, right? When you take all of history, all back to a single point, a lot of you think it would be like the Big Bang and all that shit. You get to the single point and it's the creator of all things. Somebody made this. And whatever that somebody is, however it looks, however many of them there are, everything, all history, all time had a single point of origin. And that point, in my way of thinking, is where any consideration of moral, what morality is, begins, right? So I go to the creator of all things. I pursue the creator of all things. I've taken all these different avenues to define who and what that is. You know, and I've had to take others' words for it. And ultimately, as a Christian, you have to take the word of the 12 apostles, right? What they put in the gospel message, what they put in the epistles, their letters, and then the early church after them, right? People that they taught, churches that they started, these apostles, I mean to say. And they speak to this singular point of origin as God, the monotheistic creator of all things, right? So, in my way of thinking, and I've tried others, my way of thinking, we go all the way back, morality, good and evil is defined by this creator of all things. But, that's what I think. Other people obviously think differently. So we've got our own versions of good and evil all over the place. And society is conducted not by morals, but by ethics, right? Ethics is how society basically coerces you into behaving. That person that just cut you off in traffic, you wanted to kill him, but you didn't. Why? Because you didn't want to go to jail. If society said it's okay to just kill somebody who cuts you off in traffic, people would kill you for it. No repercussions, right? So there's a difference. That's what ethics are, and then morals are something else. And ethics are, you know, also scatterbrained like morals. It depends on where you are. You work at this place, they got their own code of conduct. You visit that place, they got their own code of conduct. You go home at night, your wife's got her own code of conduct you got to live by. And people come to visit you, you have your own code. We all do. We all do. So both ethics and morals are scatterbrained. There's just a whole variety of them. We all do better if we can all join in and get to this single point of assimilation, but that ain't going to happen until we're all dead. When's that going to happen? Judgment Day. So we're going from the beginning of things to the end of things. The beginning of time to the end of time. And that's how we're good and evil begins, and that's where good and evil ends. And we all know the truth when we get to it there. But anyway, you know, we use the terms like depraved and low down, and it involves character, and character involves morals, and how do you work your way around it? I don't know. It all comes from this same place, but we try to distort it. And this came up yesterday, too. This came up in conversation, too. This modern, This modern movement to redefine terms, right? You take a word out of a dictionary and then change its meaning. because you're trying to erase all kinds of shit that was. You're trying to wipe out culture. You're trying to wipe out mentality. You're trying to wipe out philosophy. Ultimately, you're trying to wipe out morality, right? Morality dictates right and wrong for so many people. Laws are made out of it. Now you got people who are, that word perverted came up for one, right? Morally corrupt as a phrase came up. If these are terms that are defined ultimately back to the origin of all things, of all time, to a creator of all things, and you don't believe in a creator, or you don't subscribe to a creator that you do believe in, you don't want to be subjected to moral bindings. And the things that you like to do that may be defined as immoral, let's say rape, for example, right? Rape is immoral. If I'm a rapist, I don't want that to be immoral, because I don't want to have this idea that some God out there is against me. And I don't want people using that morality to codify it into law and making me a criminal. I just want to go out and be the rapist, right? I just want to do rapist things. And look, don't cut that down into sound bites. I'm just acting like somebody. This is not shit that I do at all. That's not me. But it could be any immoral act. And it can even be, acts that are not so seemingly immoral, not so blatantly immoral. I use the example of like drugs, right? When I was a kid, I did drugs. You open the Bible, does it say thou shalt not drop acid? No, it doesn't say that. But I mean, if you go through and you understand the concepts, this destruction of your own mind by pharmaceuticals is associated with witchcraft, and then now you're immoral, right? And I bring that up as, yeah, it's a subtly immoral act that I was doing back then, and society deemed it as criminal, right? Now, there was a time in the 60s, up into the mid-60s, where it wasn't criminal. LSD specifically wasn't criminal. And you go back into the 20s and before that, and marijuana wasn't criminal, and cocaine wasn't criminal, and morphine wasn't criminal. All this shit became criminal, and it was criminal in my lifetime during my upbringing. I was a teenage criminal as a result of the drugs I did. And our life was a life of cops and robbers. That's what happens. When your lifestyle is built around things that are not legal, you don't like the cops anymore, right? Here we go. We're starting to get a definition of what's been going on in our culture. They want to defund the police. Why? Because they don't want to go to jail for the things they're doing. Haven't been able to change the culture to decriminalize all this stuff. So we're just going to get rid of the police force so they can't enforce the laws, right? This is what's going on. So we're trying to redefine everything. Mosquito. They keep getting away. So we try to redefine everything to suit us, so that we can be just happily floating through society like butterflies and have no worries about shit, and do these corrupt things that we do and harm others without any kind of consequence. I brought up, redefines. That was a word that came up when I was a programmer, right? I was actually going to a programming school, Chubb Institute, up in New Jersey. I don't even know if it still exists. The insurance company, Chubb America, they made their own IT training facility out of their own need to have people to get things done. And I took a mainframe programming course as a young adult. And part of the curriculum was the COBOL programming language and projects developed off of that COBOL. COBOL had a command called redefines when you were setting up your data. You had to define all your data up front with COBOL. Every record, every field, everything had a length to it that had to be defined in bytes, and they had to be sequenced in order. And then there was this need every once in a while to take a couple of fields. For example, if you had a date field, and I don't know if this is a viable example, but if you had a date, you know, you could have the first part of a date is the day, right? The second part of, the first part is the month. The second part's the day. And then the last part's the year, right? That's your standard date format. But you could break that field down into three, right? So you can have a month field, a day field, and a year field. And then you could redefine the three of them as a whole into one as a date. See what I'm saying? That's how redefines kind of sort of worked in COBOL programming. And now we're trying to redefine society. We're trying to take something that exists, package it together in a different way, and give it a whole new source of attributes and qualities. And it's a lot of bullshit. It's a small minority of people that has the ear of a small minority of very rich people working very rapidly to make changes to our culture. It's the, you know, it's the end of cultural Marxism. It's been going on for 100 years, and now it's shit or get off the pot time for them. That's what's happening in society. It's all or nothing right now. They're all in to get what they want, and if they fail, it's probably going to be a golden era. If they succeed, it's probably going to be the end of the world. So that's, it's nothing. It's just, you know, that's all that's hanging in the balance. No big deal. No big deal or nothing like that. Anyway, yeah, so we've got a lowdown as defined as a low character motherfucker. I think a motherfucker's a low character dude, you know? That's another term that really needs to be defined. I mean, you could look at that different ways. Motherfucker is somebody who fucks his own mother, or motherfucker is somebody who fucks your mother. Let's see if my dictionary has a definition for it. I'm going to the American Heritage app. Seeing if they got motherfucker. Okay, motherfucker. A person regarded as, and here's the word again, despicable. Something regarded as unpleasant, frustrating, or despicable. So despicable is really the word of the day. We're talking about dirty lowdown, but despicable is deserving of contempt, of scorn, and like I said before, vile, right? The single word definition for another single word. Deserving of contempt or scorn. But motherfucker, well, you know, vulgar slang. What's the origins? No, that just defines slang. I have to go to another source now to find the origins of the word motherfucker. Let's see what we got here. This is fun, isn't it? You always wanted to know. Some of y'all out there already looked this up. Origins of motherfucker. Let's see what we get here. Oh, Wikipedia has an entry for it. Excellent. Because they know. I'll read it to you. Motherfucker, sometimes abbreviated as mofo, mf, or mf'er, is an English language vulgarism. It is a form of a profanity, fuck. While the word is usually considered highly offensive, it's rarely used in the literal sense of one. Oh, here we go. This is what we're trying to get. The literal sense of the word. Rarely used in the literal sense of one who engages in sexual activity with another person's mother, or their own mother. So it can be either or. How about that? I think there's a big difference between the two. Rather, it means to refers to a mean, despicable, or vicious person, or any particularly difficult or frustrating situation. Alternatively, it can be used as a term of admiration, as in the term badass motherfucker. Meaning a fearless and confident person. It's what we do to words, right? I just talked about all this redefined shit. What we do to words as a society, it's like this fucking phone tag game. We talk about this amongst like Bible circles, right? I taught Bible studies. I facilitated Bible groups. I preached sermons. I taught Sunday school. And I would have to express to these people about how we go about interpreting what we're reading in the Bible. We are so egocentric, it is our predilection to look at things from our own perspective, right? Good example of that is every time that this idea that the world is going to come to an end, like I mentioned before, a judgment day is happening. Every generation going back 2,000 years have thought that this is the end, this is the end, this is the end. We've always got these movements as it's the end of the world. I'm a little bit hesitant to say, and like I just expressed before, we're kind of like in this place of good and evil, according to the creator of all things, where if good wins, we'll be in a golden age, and if evil wins, he might just slam the door on it, right? So it's hanging in the balance. It's not really finalized, but that gives me a perspective of optimism, hope, something to fight for, or whatever. Even if I'm fighting for my own righteousness is what I'm doing, holding my own shit together so in the end I end up in paradise, not in torment. But anyway, so easy to drift off on these heavy topics of conversation. And I might have just gone so far as to lose myself talking about a low character motherfucker. I was talking about words and how they lose their original meaning. Interpreting the Bible, you could see a word like queer, depending on, you know, which interpretation you may be reading. There may be a word like queer or gay or something, trying to define, you know, its original sense. Queer, something kind of a little off. Gay is something happy. But when we read it now, those words mean something completely different. They both happen to mean pretty much the same thing, right? Homosexual. Homosexual is a new word itself. You know, there's a little etymology to that, but that only goes back less than 100 years. Like 70, 75 years, there wasn't that word. Anybody who was homosexual was a sodomite. And then all of a sudden they were gay, and now gay means homosexual, not happy. Well, here's what I'm trying to say. You can't just look at your Bible straight up and interpret it without understanding what the word meant originally. So you have to look at the word behind the word. In the New Testament, the origin language was Greek, so you got to look at Greek. And when you look at Greek, you got to make sure it's old Greek, that these definitions haven't been bastardized. And that's what it is. They get bastardized over time. And at times like this, they get like bastard on steroidized. They're literally just redefining words now. But anyway, so motherfucker, it's really vague. You know? It could be fucking your own mother, which is low down. And it could be fucking somebody else's mother. Trying to think of the situation. All right, you got two buddies walking around. You do shit together. And then the one of them goes off and have sex with the other one's mother. That would be a motherfucker. But what if it was just some guy off the street and they were dating? Does that become a motherfucker just because you're fucking somebody? You know, why is the sky blue? Who the fuck knows? Anyway, I decided to use that motherfucker word to define low down as low character motherfucker. All right. Somebody who is despicable, vile, low character. Low character is the key. And, you know, we're talking about character. Now we're talking about morals again, right? Character is moral strength. And then the definition, the one word you could use to define character without using moral in it is integrity. Of course, integrity goes back to morals too. And see, what I think about when I think about character is what you do when you think nobody is watching you, right? You have a choice with how to behave. And if you think that nobody's watching you, you'll misbehave. Think that somebody's watching you, you won't misbehave. So what you do when you think nobody is watching, that shows your level of integrity or your level of character. Integrity is defined as adherence to a strict moral, there's the word moral again, or ethical code, right? One or the other. So integrity and character are really vague also, because it depends on which code you're going by, and there's so many of them, and we can invent our own and drop them and move, shift them, change them whenever we want to, you know? And you know, that's kind of the way we start to get into this idea of lawlessness, right? People use the word anarchy, but anarchy boils down to lawlessness. Lawlessness. Do what thou wilt shall be the whole of the law. That's what Aleister Crowley was famous for. A famous quote of his. Wiccans, do what you will, in so much as it harms no one, right? Which is bullshit, because you never know the harm you're doing by the acts that you're committing. Do I even need to draw pictures of that for you? How about the one douchebag? You got a line of like 40 cars at a traffic light, and there's one guy pulling out of a gas station to get in the mix. Now, these 40 cars were parked up there before this guy pulled up to get out of the gas station. The light's going to turn green. It'll be green long enough for 38 cars to go through. Everybody's going to hustle to get through that light so they don't have to sit through the next one. Two cars up in front of you, the guy decides to be nice and let the guy from the gas station into the line. All right? So now, everybody behind this guy is potentially fucked from getting through the light. And it turns out to be the case. You get up to the light, you know, the last four cars in that line don't get through the green light. Because why? The guy who thought he was doing a nice thing, guy who thought he was doing a good thing, he let one car in. The time he took for that car to snake into the line cost these other people the time to get through the light. So what's good and what's bad? What's right and what's wrong? You got this one guy patting himself on the back for letting a guy in. So you got one happy guy, and then you got like 3, 4, 5, 10 other cars behind him who are pissed off that they couldn't get through the light. You don't know the harm you're doing. That's the point that I'm saying. You think you're doing good and you're not. It's all bullshit. Everything is bullshit. That's why we need a singular point of assimilation to operate by. That we argue over what that single point should be. And that's how fucked up society is. That's why it has no chance. So you utopians out there can kiss it. It ain't gonna happen. Do you see just how complicated this is? Anybody who wants a utopia, you know what they got to do to attain it? They pretty much got to kill everybody else, right? And that's what you got going on in the war. You got all these eugenicists. I've spoken about that before, right? Eugenicists, they're looking for the perfect. They want to get rid of everything that's imperfect and just breed what's perfect. And who defines what's perfect? They do. They want everybody to be just like them. And they want everything to be their way. And everybody who's alive to go along with their way. And that's how you are. You're a utopian. You've got this kind of ivory tower look at shit. And it's really, it's loaded with a whole lot of narcissism, conceit, paranoia. Good luck. None of it's going to happen. The world in all its perfection is the perfect world. It is exactly the world that we need to find the true perfection that comes later. You're trying to find beauty in an ugly place here. This place is supposed to be ugly. It's supposed to suck. You just got to learn how to swim with it, and you have to get to where it doesn't suck. But that's for you to work out. We all have a potential to get right with the Creator of all things. That's for another day. So integrity is an adherence to a strict moral or ethical code. Boz Scaggs writes a song called Lowdown, sings about this dirty lowdown guy. Boz Scaggs is telling you that the things that that guy did was of low character. And what I was able to, what I talked about earlier, what I was able to gather out of what that guy was doing, he basically lied to a girl about who he is, what he does, where he gets the money, and his ability to take care of her. It's a dirty, low-down thing to do. What is that? It's lying, you know, the deception. I guess Boz Scaggs is pretty much committed to the idea that deceiving somebody is a low-down act. What would make a person think that if not Holy Scripture? What would make a person think that if not adherence to a quote-unquote moral code? Or an ethical one, for that matter. Has somebody ever deceived you? How does that feel when you've been deceived? Yeah, it sucks, doesn't it? It really sucks. You know, I got this job. It's a shit job. I'm the building maintenance guy here. The Dwayne Schneider of Post Arlen, right? I get to fix broken things and clean up filthy things. It's my job. I see some, what I consider, very low character shit. Sometimes literally shit, like turd, on this job. But some of the lowest character stuff I ever saw was on these same lines of Boz Scaggs' dirty low down, where there was deception involved. People going off at the mouth, telling lies. I got that when I got here, you know? I got that when I got here. I got here and I've stumbled right into a person of need, and I just happened to be the person that had like the contacts to help this person out and to know all. And this person kind of got a little infatuated with me. Like a lot, like sickly, for a very long time, for 5 years. Maybe it's still going, I don't even know. If it is, it's coming up on 7. But it was at least 5 years of this insane infatuation that involved this person telling everybody who would listen whatever she felt like telling them about me. Sometimes good, sometimes wicked. And the wicked part was a lot of stuff that wasn't true. It was all of it was not true. It's just a very, very bad person. And my job, which sucks, the last thing I need is that. So now I don't even involve myself with that. But yeah, has anybody ever like made up something about you that wasn't true and spread it around? And then continued to do it? You call them out on it. You cuss them out on it. They apologize. They do it again. And they do it again. Think about these times you've been deceived. Think about these times you've been stolen from, violated in any way. Right? It's horrible stuff. It's horrible stuff without ethics, without God. If you don't have rules to say that it's not right for you to tell lies about me. You know that when somebody tells a lie about you, it feels horrible. And you know that you're powerless against it. Once people's ears get infected with that that notion, you can't erase that. You can't change that. At least not immediately, you know. You got to spend a lot of time with any person who was in earshot of all that those lies and deception to prove yourself to be something other than what that person said. An impossible place to be. You know, go back to that word rape again. The idea of somebody crying rape when it didn't happen. A guy who's been accused of that falsely has no way of clearing his name. It'll always be tainted. Horrible shit. And there ought to be equal laws against that sort of thing, just to make sure people don't do that. But whatever. Laws don't fix everything. And you got to rely on some kind of morality or ethics to base your law off of. It gets really fucked up. It's not easy to be a human, and it's not easy to manage a humanity. We all got our ideas. We all got our differences. But we all got a prayer. We all got a choice. But most of us, we don't really have a chance. We really don't. Most of us end up falling in for whatever we can get to please us. We become pleasure seekers. We become stalkers after what we want all the fucking time. And the only thing that really matters to us is getting it. Now, I define character as what you do when you think no one is watching, right? Think about being a Christian. I'm an Orthodox Christian. And I'm happy and open to say that. The thing about being an Orthodox Christian, God is always watching. You don't have that moment where you think no one's watching, so you just do whatever. God is always watching. I know some of you out there, atheists, think you got your like pretend friend, right? Your imaginary friend. Okay. I got my imaginary friend, and my imaginary friend is making sure I don't do the next fucked up thing to ruin your day. You know, my imaginary friend is making sure I'm not making up rumors about you. My imaginary friend is making sure that I'm not killing you in traffic for driving like a douchebag. We got to do a word origin on douchebag now. I'll pass on it. My imaginary friend is making sure that I don't throw my trash on the floor and leave it for somebody else to pick up. My imaginary friend. It goes on and on. You see what I'm saying? My imaginary friend makes sure that I don't mug your daughter while she's out at the movies with her friends. You might not like God, but God has done a whole lot to help your life move along smoothly. Start there. Think about that. God is always watching. You know, I say for a Christian, God is always watching. That's not exactly true. The whole truth is, for everybody, God is watching. See, God is always watching everybody. It's a Christian who knows it. The Christian knows it and acts accordingly. Other people don't know it. And they do what thou wilt shall be the whole of the law. Yeah, ultimately our law for us outside of morals is whatever we want, whenever we want, however much we want. You know it and I know it. Sum total of all of this shit, the world sucks and it's supposed to suck. Some of us rise up out of it. Some of us rise over it. I don't care if I'm a lowlife janitor, custodian, building maintenance guy. I don't care that I'm at the bottom of the totem pole. I don't care that I get the least of things in my life. Bottom shelf this, bottom shelf that. Smallest paycheck. I don't care. It helps shape me. It helps improve my character. It challenges me. And I fail at the challenge. I'm not perfect at this. Don't think that I just kind of go easy breezy right through all this shit that I encounter. No, it's very difficult. It's very difficult to look at the ass and the humanity 10 hours a day and not get a little bit disturbed. My challenge is being acclimated with the disturbance and learning how to cope with it. Most people within earshot of what I'm saying right now could not do what I've done for 6 days, let alone 6 years. Couldn't do it. Anyway, it's a good point, right? It's a good point to understand. God is watching everybody, including you. But only some of us realize it. The rest of us don't. Our best behavior, the best people acting in the best manner, invariably is doing it in accords with God, the creator of all things. Does it mean these people are perfect? No, it does not mean they're perfect. But they have a code to live by. And more often than not, they're living by that code. And as they do, they are making your little corner of the world a better place. And you don't even know it's happening. In the same manner that you don't know that your good act is screwing four cars behind you. You don't know what just made this hour of your day roll smoothly along. There was shit that 10 people might have done to fuck your day up, and they didn't do it because they pray to Jesus every day. And you would have no way of knowing. But we drift through the world thinking that everything is good because we are so great. Anything good that happens is a result of us. That we walk down this yellow brick road of life and all the flowers perk up and blossom as we go by. We have no idea the operations going on around us. And this is just at the human level. Spiritually speaking, you've got angels and demons going to war over you. Tens of thousands of them all around every scene of your life, and you can't see them. You can't perceive them. That's scriptural. That is scriptural, right? We talk about spirituality, but nobody talks about it like that. Spirituality has to do with the spiritual beings in this world and a connection with them. As a Christian, your connection with the spiritual beings of this world is your guardian angel, any angels that God may send down to help you, which you don't define, and the Holy Spirit, God Himself in spirit. The rest of the spirits are evil spirits. To conjure them up is spirituality. That's funny. I used to be regarded as a very spiritual person. I was actually given, branded a nickname, spiritual, or something to that end, many moons ago, right? Ironic, because usually those kind of names are related to anger, but the other side of that paradox is a spiritual quality, except there was no God in my life, right? I was always involving myself with spirit things. So I was spiritual. These people kind of misread me, but they got it right. I exactly was. I was with the occult, the tarot cards, all that shit, conjurations. I done stuff like that. I was very spiritual. The difference in this world is exactly which spirits you subscribe to. That's what really matters. So anyway, yeah, dirty load down. God is always watching. Dirty load down. Dirty load down.
thank you for tuning into Post-Stalin Monologics. Please understand that this project is meant to be part of a long-term archive as a series of snapshots reflecting a distant past. We are not seeking advertisers, but may at times accept private anonymous donations to help mitigate production costs. Further information involving this project and archived releases of Post-Stalin Monologics can be accessed over the World Wide Web at post-stalin.com and at onsert.com. Comments, critiques, and inquiries may be submitted to Maverick through email at maverick88@post-stalin.com.